Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's voices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. Handshakes, good eye contact, and small talk has given way to Facebook likes, clever tweets, and emojis. But as we become more connected electronically, do we forget how to connect on an individual basis? And what about our kids? Does the increasing frequency of connecting through a device mean our children are missing out on developing vital life and social skills? Although technology provides numerous positive benefits for learning, many believe it can also rob youth of their ability to function in the real world. Today's show will focus on a local effort with one focused purpose, to empower today's youth with the skills to overcome these challenges so they can become tomorrow's leaders. The Savvy Leadership Academy was established with a mission to provide today's youth with a foundation of leadership skills and knowledge, cultivating self-confident, well-mannered, and prepared leaders for our future. Joining me as guests are Maggie Von Stein, the founder and CEO of Savvy Leadership Academy, Taryn Greer, leadership coach, and Kristen McKiernan, whose son Hunter is in the K through second grade program. And Kristen is joining us by telephone. Kristen, are you there?
I am, yes. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, all three of you, for joining me today. And an interesting concept and an interesting program, and I'm glad to get to that. And today's show is live, and we're inviting you, the listening audience, to also join our discussion with your thoughts, comments, and questions. And you can do that by calling us during the show at 805-781-3875. One more time, 805-781-3875. And Maggie, I want to start with you. If you can just tell me, you're the founder of this, what motivated you to do that?
Sure. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about this topic. I was born and raised on the East Coast. So I actually was raised in a traditional cotillion program where you learn about etiquette and manners and develop some social skills. And looking back on my childhood as an adult, I realized that a lot of that skill set that I learned is really valuable in how I network, how I am in my professional life. And I wanted to take that opportunity, especially as a mom. I have a 5-year-old son who I started thinking, you know, there's not a playbook for parents. So how do I not only do this for my son, but empower other kids to develop these necessary skills? And that's where the concept of, you know what, I like that program, but let's make it modern, fun, engaging for kids, and let's tie in leadership to it. So that's kind of where it started. And I worked in the tech industry for MindBody with the founder of that company. And so I was inspired to kind of create and evolve and wanted to be an entrepreneur always. And so this was my chance to start something that I was passionate about and something that could empower our kids.
That's fantastic. And we're going to get into a lot more detail about the program. And I understand, Kristen, that you could only be with us for just a little bit. So I want to go over to you. Your son, Hunter, has been in the initial class here, correct? And how old is Hunter?
Yes, Hunter is 7.5, and he's in second grade.
Okay.
And he just completed the first class there in Avila of Maggie's leadership program.
And so what about this program interested you for Hunter?
I had heard about these programs, I believe, that had something similar may have been offered in, you know, larger communities such as San Francisco or L.A. or even Santa Barbara. Never really delved into it too much, but it did pique my interest. So when I heard they were offering etiquette, manners, and then the leadership program in our Central Coast area, I was thrilled. So I looked into it a little more, sent an email to Maggie. One of my favorite initial contacts was Maggie actually picked up the phone and called me. So just to hear her voice, I knew it was to get that personal touch was a nice and surprising and a comforting feeling. So upon signing up, I really was, I wasn't sure what to expect. I knew that, you know, to teach Hunter, he's a boy, he's got a lot of energy, proper etiquette, table manners, maybe even a little bit of ballroom dancing. When I told him that, he was a little hesitant. But after the first class, I remember exactly, I asked him, I said, what'd you learn today, Hunter, and did you like it? He loved it. And he learned how to do, they taught him how to do a proper handshake and a proper eye contact while you're giving a handshake. And that's where I thought to myself, you know, these are the things that I just assumed as an adult that that's just kind of what you learn and that children know how to do that, when in fact they're not taught. And if they're not, they're at a disadvantage. So those were kind of just some of the things that had led my interest. And then with every class, I would ask him the different things that he learned. And they were things such as, you know, how to take a compliment, how to give a proper compliment, table manners. But they made it really fun. And so he was excited to go. And in addition to the basics that they would learn, such as that, they really weaved in some, which I liked this aspect. You can tell I'm obviously very happy with the program, because I was telling Maggie, you know, I could go on and on. But they tied in things like gratitude, philanthropy, mindfulness, things that, and they put it in the context of a youthful atmosphere that kept the kids engaged in it, which, like in your introduction, you had said with such the digital saturation, I think there's a big lack of that. And I think it's easy for us to forget as parents. You know, we just think this is the day and age and we're all busy too. And it kind of makes everyone just take a step back of, okay, how did we get here? What are things that make me successful, my family successful? How can I pass that on to my child in a fun, non-disciplinary, you know, it's different when it's coming from mom or dad. If it's coming from a program like Savvy Leadership, it's, you know, wow, here I'm doing it and my friends are doing it, and then let me share it with you, mom and dad and sisters and brothers. So we got a tremendous amount of the program, way more than I anticipated. And since I've never done this before, I didn't really have much expectations set, but if I did, they were far exceeded.
What kinds of differences did you notice in Hunter as he was going through the program?
I think I would notice nothing extremely dressed, but it would be...
he didn't all of a sudden start wearing a suit and tie.
although he is going to take me out to a fancy dinner. Yeah. And he's excited about it. And he'll know what to do, you know, and he, you know, where to put a fork, where to put a knife. We're going to work, you know, when we do Christmas Eve dinner. I'm going to have him help set the table.
That's great.
And he's excited about that. And kids love sharing their knowledge. They love, you know, being the leader. Mm-hmm. So I did notice those things when Veterans Day came around. He was able to show me how to do a proper flag salute those type of different things. So nothing drastic, but things that kind of trickle in and that he shares with me as they become relevant.
That's great. That's great. And going over to you, Maggie, you mentioned that you come from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Where were you learning the etiquette?
Sure. Well, they had a National League of Junior Cotillion. It's a program that is really dominant on the East Coast.
Right.
It has not taken off on the West Coast at all. And my mom had signed me up for that. And at the time, you know, I was excited to get dressed up and go dance. And it was a very kind of non-inclusive program. You actually had to have an invite to get in. And it was just, it's different. So,
right.
But I, like I said, I got a lot of skills and value from it. And I definitely wanted to have an opportunity for my son to go through something like that. And since it didn't exist here in San Luis Obispo, I'm like, let's start it and let's develop this across, you know, slow roots with a global reach potentially.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you were talking about it. I grew up overseas.
Okay.
And some of the teaching that you're talking about came through our school.
Okay.
Because we were taught, actually, I know this sounds very old and I'm dating myself, but I was taught to curtsy because boys bowed, girls curtsied at that time. And I know I'm real old there, but it came through the schools. We don't get that here anymore.
Right.
I mean, when you talk about a flag salute, kids kind of do the flag salute but may not understand how to do a flag salute properly. I grew up in a military family, so we were taught a proper way to do a flag salute because it was part of the culture.
Definitely. And these are relevant skills that I think that all families would value having their kids learn. And whether it's in the school system, I mean, the reason I did this as a standalone program is I feel like the school systems, you know, they try their best and give the kids as much that they can offer.
Sure.
And there's great teachers out there. And, you know, it's just the time that they have to dedicate to individualize the program
so
to
much.
Those children. And that's the nice thing about having small class sizes is we really get to know the kids. We get to teach them and really engage with where they're at in their development.
Right. And I'm going to take a call right here from Lewis real quick from King City. Lewis, are you there?
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me on your show.
Hey.
Hi.
You had a question or comment?
Yeah, I had a sort of a comment that ties into what you're all saying. I really love your guest. Delight to listen to her. I'm worried about the people that Twitter and send out these horrible things, especially the leader of our country, because it doesn't show the reality of life. You know, we can't talk that way in a social situation, but if you're hidden and masked behind a Twitter account, you can just unload on people with no repercussions. So I agree with your guests. You know, we have to learn these social skills. I learned them by watching movies and TV like Bobby Kennedy and John F. Kennedy and these wonderful leaders that knew how to speak to the public. So I'll get back and listen to the program.
Okay. Thank you for that, Lewis. Appreciate the comment.
Thank you.
So Lewis makes a good point. Part of what you are doing is engaging kids. And did for you, Kristen, did Hunter develop any skills in terms of communicating with his peers that were in the program with him that you noticed?
I think the handshake and the eye contact was a really good one. He practiced that. He did that with his uncle when we went down south to do that. Mm-hmm. As far as they did a couple gratitude projects, as far as skill sets with his peers, I don't know those in particular. Mm-hmm. I do know that the last class was, I think, Maggie, it was December 10th, and one of his good friends was so excited his family was going to go down and watch a boat show somewhere. He had a sleepover with Hunter because he didn't want to miss the last class. So I don't know of a particular skill. It's more of a well-roundedness, mm-hmm. and I think it's brought to top of mind for me as a parent to ask him about these things and to even kind of step back and say, oh, you know what, teach me how to do that. So it's brought the focus back to it, and I think in a subtle way it's brought his confidence level up to be involved in these situations. I'll really know when he takes me to dinner. But to bring his confidence level up, which confidence and self-esteem is a huge thing for children. So to know that they're not lost in these situations that come about far before adulthood, I think I've seen that in a subtle way.
You know, you mentioned, I think it was before we came on air, Kristen, that you kind of assumed that a lot of these things Hunter would be learning somewhere, but then all of a sudden the realization that if he wasn't going to be learning them from a parent or a place, he may not learn them. And one of the things that I've noticed is just the idea of a handshake. A lot of times you have young people who walk into a room, or an adult or another person will walk into the room, and it's, hey, you know, there's no eye contact, or it's a parent prompting the person to say hello rather than it being an acknowledgement that somebody else has entered the room naturally as a way of just affirming a person's presence.
And that is the challenging part.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kristen, I didn't mean to cut you off. But as far as technology, you know, I'm not anti-tech mm-hmm. in any way. I think that technology has made many advancements. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that our program is built to be complementary to that. Because if you are out there and you see everybody's glued to their device, like no longer are we walking around and acknowledging people on the street and saying hi and smiling and doing that interpersonal engagement, we are looking down at our devices. People
well,
are bringing
need,
them.
And I need to interject here that the parents mm-hmm. are doing the same thing. The adults in this scenario are doing the same thing. When we go out to dinner and we see that the whole table of people are looking at their devices, it breaks my heart mm-hmm. to see families that are so disengaged What about the parents in this? Do you address that?
You know, what's great about our program is you get parents that are wanting to invest in their children. That's why they're sending them to the program. And yeah. As a mom, I can attest to it. I have one kid. It's my only kid. I haven't done this before. And there is not a playbook for parents. Like, we don't, when we get a kid, we don't say, like, okay, here's how you do it. And here's all the things you need to cover. So like Kristen said, we don't really know where they're going to get it from. As parents, right. We can empower them with certain tools and skills that we know to teach them and that we're thinking of top of mind. But if you're missing out on those table manners because, you know, you're rushing to and from activities and you're not sitting down as much at the table, these concepts are kind of being lost. Yeah. So that is the core of why we're doing this program, is to make that dedicated time for kids to come and connect in person, not through a device, no matter what age they are. You see middle schoolers with their phones that early on and they're just glued to them. So saying that, you know what, it's okay for that time, but when you're in with your friends and you're engaging, let's make it about that and not about the phone and the device.
Right.
And so I think the parents, especially of our program, were great. Like Kristen said, we send monthly updates of everything we covered in the class afterwards and show pictures of the kids, some video, let the parents see how their kids are engaging with each other in the program and how the concepts are being taught and really some of the key takeaways that Taryn and I learn. Like, we will witness a kid like dropped their mindfulness jar that was filled with glitter and one of the other kids saw it and ran over and gave them theirs. Like, these are opportunities that they're natural. These are, good human beings, good kids. They're learning at this young age. They're so impressionable, and having these interactions and experiences is key. And the parents going along in that journey with them and even just investing in them to send them to a program like this is definitely one great step.
Yeah. Kristen, I know you need to click off, but is there anything that you want to add before you do?
I would just say I cannot, like I said, this far exceeded my expectations. I could go on, and I'm sorry, I do have to leave early. If anybody has any questions, they're welcome. Maggie, you can filter those through me. I'm happy to answer them. It's a fun program. It's a valuable program. I was going to leave with one last. I keep having these things in my mind that come up that Hunter did that I either saw photos of or when I was peeking in the class. They did an All About Me board. And same with Maggie. I run a tech company. So I'm I appreciate technology, but I see what it's doing as well. So they did an All About Me board where it's easy to put All About You on Facebook, All About You on, like the gentleman who called in on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But they actually did a board. They put 5 different things about themselves, and they stood up there and they talked to their peers about themselves in, again, a youthful and age-appropriate way that was fun for them. But now that's setting them up for, number one, Hunter was able to take a step back and say, okay, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm a dancer, he loves to dance, and a couple other things, and then to present it, to be proud and to present it to his peers, which if you think about that now, that's the next step, is you're going to be presenting yourself to, college applications, interviews, and actually standing up and being in front of people, which when, that's a life skill that to get this foundation now that savvy leadership and Maggie and her team are providing. It's those to me are invaluable skills, and they're things that I like to be the best parent that I can, as we all do. I would have never thought of that on my own. And Hunter would have never sat there and did it for me. It's different when it's coming from a program like that. So I can't say enough about the program. Like I said, if anybody wants any real life experience or information, I'm happy to share that.
Well, thank you, Kristen, for giving us your time, and I know you've got to go, and appreciate all your comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Chris Kington-Barker with you on KCBX. This is Central Coast Voices, and today we're talking about Savvy Leadership Academy and its mission to provide today's youth with a foundation of leadership skills and knowledge, cultivating self-confident, well-mannered, and prepared leaders for our future. My guests are Maggie Von Stein, founder and CEO of Savvy Leadership Academy. Taryn Greer is here. She's a leadership coach. And you were just listening to Kristen McKiernan, whose son Hunter was in the K through second grade program, and she joined us by telephone. You're invited to join us in today's discussion with comments, questions, or observations, and you can call us at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. And we have a call from Deborah in Templeton. Deborah, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I am the board president of the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center, and I got your email about this talk, and I was so excited in that we, through the Autism Center, are continually looking for ways to improve self-confidence, leadership skills, social skills, manners, things like that in adults and youth with autism. And I saw this, and I wanted to reach out. These individuals, of which I have family members that are on the spectrum as well, we've looked at acting classes, we've looked at Toastmasters. I was interested if Maggie wanted to venture out into that realm of individuals on the autism spectrum and what her thoughts were on that.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you so much for calling in. I definitely am excited to talk to you and have that opportunity. My program is so new. I just actually launched it here in March. So we are evolving constantly. We've started small, like I said, with the K through second graders, and we're adding the third through fifth graders starting in January. But I am open to all ideas, and am definitely looking to partner with local community organizations to offer our training to as many kids that we can. Up and down the Central Coast.
That would be fantastic. And like I said, we have the perfect dream solution of for the clients that and family members and individuals that I know with this would be some variety of all of what you are teaching in an age-appropriate manner, along with almost an acting class, so that the mannerisms can be taught. Some of the things that don't come easily, I've always thought of that. I have an individual who walked into a store, a family member, and will just have an unusual body posture talking to the people there. And, you know, a little bit of acting teaching and a lot of what you are doing would be tremendous. And we would love to partner with you to make something like that happen. So I just want to put that bug in your ear and hope that even if there's somebody out there listening who has that same interest, we are the Central Coast Autism Spectrum Center, and we really need that in our community. So as you get going, give us a call, and we'd love to help coordinate something with you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. I'll definitely reach out after the show and be in touch.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So let's talk a little bit more detail about the program.
Definitely. So like I mentioned, we just finished our founding class of K through second graders in December. And the program is built to start in kindergarten and develop a foundation of leadership skills. So the other part that I was going to mention is I put myself through Notre Dame training program all about leadership. And like the gentleman that called in talked about, like, our presidents of the world and everything, and that's leadership from a title perspective.
Right.
What we're actually teaching these kids are intentional leadership and developing a foundation of leadership, which starts with awareness, like concepts about being self-aware, awareness of your surroundings, awareness of others, how your actions impact others, starting there. And so that's why we started it at such a young age, because sometimes people will be like, wait, leadership and kindergartners, like, how does that go together? But again, we are developing a foundation, which is an age-based curriculum that the kids continue. It's built to continue all the way up until they graduate from high school. So we are K through second right now, and we're adding third through fifth graders starting in January, and we'll continue to add in different age groups.
So you're looking for the K through two to continue in the next class. Will you also then take in people to the second class that haven't gone through the K through two?
Yes.
So as you start each class, people can join at that age level.
Definitely. Yeah. It does, whatever age the kids are, they can join our program at any time at the beginning of the sessions. The curriculum is built that they will never repeat any of the same material. We may have kind of a broad topic, say on mindfulness or table manners, that we may have different activities that fall within that, but a child that's in our program would never repeat the same material.
So Kristen talked a little bit about what her son, Hunter, was able to experience and learn in the K through two. Talk a little bit, Taryn, about what some of the curriculum was for the K through two.
Well, my whole life I've worked with kids, so that was like a really nice touch being able to help lead the curriculum, is we're making it fun and we're making it engaging. I'm also out in the schools right now learning how to be a teacher, and I see some of the skills that the kids are missing nowadays. So when we were trying to develop the activities, we wanted to have the main idea of it, but we were going to make it engaging so that way they go home and the parents don't have to ask what they learned. The kids are already telling them what they learned. Mm-hmm. And I have a minor in child development, and so I use that for each, when we're looking at the different classes, what do those kids, what skill sets do they have, what areas of growth do we need to work on, and just making sure that they're having fun. They're allowed to be silly in the class. They're allowed to communicate with their peers. Yeah, so it's fun to be able to build that curriculum alongside of Maggie.
One of the questions that came up to me when Kristen was talking, and also when you were, Maggie, is that, you know, learning these skill sets are important, but also being able to practice these skill sets and having them be affirmed and then continue to have them be important in life makes them relevant. Mm-hmm. So how do you engage with the parents as the kids are learning these skills so that they're continuing to make sure that they're supporting the learning that the kids have done? Because if you've got a parent that's disengaged, how's that working?
How do you handle it? Yeah, I would say the best experience I've seen is that we've been sending, for one, activities to take home. Mm-hmm. So, for example, for the table manners, they got to go home with a fun piggy on a stick, which you would think it was a cute kids activity, and they got to play the game at the dinner table with their parents, and it reinforced the proper table manners, but it also engaged their parents. So outside of the classroom, they got to participate with their parents and show them and be proud about what they learned, but also engage maybe brothers and sisters and others that weren't necessarily in the program. And then we also send home those emails that say exactly what we've done and little lessons that they can do to engage with their kids to keep the content relevant until the next session that we have.
You mentioned the word philanthropy. Mm-hmm. in K through two. How does that work? How do you teach philanthropy to K through two?
Definitely. Well, for example, we centered our philanthropy for this class around Thanksgiving, and we had them decorate placemats for a senior home facility, because I, as part of my childhood, actually went and volunteered on my own. I didn't even coordinate with my parents. I said, would you take me and my friend to a nursing home? I would like to put on a dance performance for all the seniors in this home around Christmas. And so that was life-changing for me. I will never forget, and I have a real respect for our elderly for that experience that I did. So trying to shape that into our program where kids can have that understanding of, you know, respect for their elders, and why would they want to create a Thanksgiving placemat for them? Because they're lonely in the home. They don't necessarily mm-hmm. have family visiting them. And to have a kid's hand turned into a turkey, as silly as that may sound, but them say what they're thankful for, and reminding people what it's like to be thankful and around the holidays at a time where maybe people are lonely. So that was our community service we kind of did for this year. But beach cleanups, all kinds of opportunities to get engaged with the community is how we plan on rolling that out.
Great. We're going to take a call here from Stacy in San Luis Obispo. Stacy, have you joined us?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I think that this academy is very timely and very much needed. But my question is revolves around more of the nonprofit sector only because the financial constraints that a lot of families have now, putting them into an academy might be costly. Mm-hmm. I myself don't have any kids. I'm in my early 50s, but I have two nephews, three mm-hmm. and six, and I'm seeing that their development, and both of my siblings are teachers turned into government employees just because of the financial situation.
Sure.
So how can we get these lessons and this learning and this fun activities into kids that are in the public schools? Or what can I do as someone that has lots of time now offer this kind of to a larger scale? Because as I've seen, I surf, and so I see with some of the guys that I surf with, they're in their 20s or even in the teenagers, they have a tendency, they're very well-mannered, but they have a tendency to be a little bit placid or one-sided when it comes to some ethnic or financial conditions of other people. And I'm wondering if that didn't happen someplace in the home from being into private schools or things like that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So how can we as a community, and San Luis Obispo being so diverse as it is, offer these same kind of wonderful things that these ladies are doing to the kids that might even need it most, other than having to become leaders, but become leaders in the community at large?
That's a good question.
I'll take my answer off air, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hi there. Yeah, I would love to address that. There is a program for adults, actually, in this town called Leadership Slow, and they're kind of structured the same way, but again, it's an opportunity for adults to learn about the local community and to develop leadership skills. I am actually going to be going through that program starting in January, which I'm excited about. But they actually get businesses to sponsor the program to help with the financial offset of that cost. So that is something I am looking into, to potentially partner with local businesses to help open up scholarship opportunities for kids that are interested and motivated to be involved in a program, because I have gotten an overwhelming response of kids that are interested in learning about leadership and want to be a part of a program. I actually had a single mom call me after I volunteered in one of the school systems to offer a sampling of my training program. And she said she loves the concept, the idea, but she can't afford it. And sure. So I'm very sensitive to that. And I would love, like I said, my goal, as much as I am making a business, which is not right at this time, a nonprofit, there could be opportunities to develop a nonprofit arm to offer the underserved areas. But I do want to offer this training to as many kids as possible, because I do see the value in it, and I see that it's a need, like you mentioned.
And just to be clear, this is a for-profit program right now.
Yes.
And so this is a startup program. It's offered in San Luis.
We're holding sessions. We've partnered with the Avila Bay Athletic Club right now. I live in Avila, so for me, it was convenient. But we are looking to expand to North County and South County as well. So I'm pursuing opportunities to hold sessions there to reach more families.
And so for this particular program, since Stacy brought up the issue of cost, let's talk about that and kind of take that off the table.
Sure. So the cost for our program for K through second and third through fifth graders, it includes the 5 60-minute sessions that we meet once a month, and it's $197 total for the whole program. We do offer sibling discounts, so if you have more than one child that you're looking to enroll, it does become a little more cost effective that way. And then we, for the 6th through 8th graders and 9th through 12th graders, it includes 7 sessions that are 90 minutes, as well as a 2-hour final entrepreneurship opportunity, which is $397 for the whole program.
Okay. And you mentioned that for the smaller kids, they're 45 to 60 minute sessions or 45 minute sessions?
That's correct.
Okay. And the sessions take place on Sunday, and talk about why they take place on Sunday.
Sure. So as a parent, I know very well that it's hard to juggle everything that your kids are involved in. And I didn't want to take away from the extracurricular opportunities for kids, like sports and things. I think that that's all of value. And Sunday for me was a time where I could engage with families. I have scheduled it later in the afternoon, so it doesn't conflict with church and things in the morning, and just trying to be sensitive to scheduling concerns. So Sunday seemed to be the best fit, but I am pursuing feedback from the parents and also other opportunities to have additional sessions. And we will be doing a camp during the summer, which is great because that allows people to get involved, and it would be a back-to-back program for a week during the summer.
And Kristen mentioned dance, right? Is dance incorporated in, do you envision that being incorporated into each of the different age groups?
Yes.
How is that done?
Definitely. I am a big proponent of dance. That is another thing I am super passionate about, and one of the reasons why I did this program, because I still today go out and swing dance every week over at the Madonna Inn, different places, because that's something I love. And I actually learned the ballroom basics through that cotillion program. And the reason people may see dance as, well, how does that go with leadership? But Kristen mentioned building confidence. And at this young age, it is so critical to start developing confidence early on. And in this class, we just put on music and let them freestyle dance and have fun. And it's amazing how early it starts, especially with the boys, where they start getting uncomfortable and realizing like, wow, I don't know if I really want to go out there and dance versus mm-hmm. my son. I take him dancing with me every week and he's exposed to this and he's out there and he shows them. And when they see him out there, they got right out there with him and started dancing. So I think it's an opportunity to get kids comfortable in that setting. And especially as they get older, where you can pair them up and get them to feel confident about interacting with the opposite sex in a positive, engaging way, and developing those basic skill sets. Because even when I worked at Mindbody, the CEO of the company learned swing dancing in the military, and we would go out and swing dance at company parties. And this is still relevant in everyday life. So it's, when are these kids being taught this? And if they're not, why not? So school dances, they happen all the time. Why don't we teach them how to properly dance and have fun with it?
Yeah, and not to avoid it.
Exactly.
This is Central Coast Voices, and I'm your host, Chris King DeBarker, on KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 FM San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM Salinas de Paso Robles, 90.9 Santa Ynez, Avila Beach, and Cambria, 89.5 FM Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. Our topic today is Savvy Leadership Academy, with a focus on building tomorrow's leaders. My guests are Maggie Von Stein, founder and CEO of Savvy Leadership Academy, and Taryn Greer, who is a leadership coach with the Academy. We welcome your voice to our discussion today, and we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at area code 805-781-3875. 805-781-3875 with your comments or questions. And what is it that you're going to be doing with the next group of kids? Talk a little bit about that curriculum.
Definitely. We focus still on the core concept with the social skills and etiquette for this younger age group. We do start bringing in concepts of leadership, like talking to them even at this early age about empathy and what that means, and giving them fun activities around that. So with this next group, we will still focus in on those areas, but the activities will be all new and different.
Give me an example of an empathy activity for third grader.
Okay, so the one that we did with our kinder through second graders is we took Easter eggs and we had drawn faces on them. So mad faces, surprise faces, happy faces, and we hid them along a grass area and they had to go find them. And then once they found them, they partnered with another student and they looked at the egg and had to be able to identify what the emotion was. And then they had to be able to come up with a scenario of why the egg might have been feeling that way. So we're taking that engaging and creative activity, but we're having them work on being able to read an egg's face or a person's face, and then think about the reasoning why they might be feeling that way, which is something kids just, that's something they have to practice and it's not coming naturally to them. And so that was really fun. They loved racing out on the grass and finding the eggs and then coming up with the scenarios for why the egg might have been feeling that way.
Interesting exercise. Yeah.
It was very fun. Let me tell you, it was fun. Taking your traditional egg hunt and they're like, wait a minute, what? Now I get to do this exciting activity with it, and having the kids face each other and show facial expressions on mm-hmm. what it's like to be mad, express madness and happiness and sadness. They got such a kick out of it, and yet they were learning along the way. And even when some of those kids couldn't find the eggs, like you see when you're out there on a traditional Easter egg hunt, it was amazing to see the kids find them and go and offer them to the other kids that had not found them.
To share.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, that's teaching that skill set versus when you're out on a crowded Easter egg hunt field, you see all kids just trampling over each other. So this gave them an opportunity to learn about empathy in many ways.
Do you envision continuing to build on this, you said, through high school?
Definitely. Yeah, in our leadership, we talk about a lot about intentional leadership. So programs that are out there like sports and things, their main purpose is to teach the sport. So we actually talk about leadership, all the different aspects of leadership, have activities built around that. And in starting in sixth grade, We cover kind of main core concepts. So we talk a lot about vision. So helping them develop their personal brand. You talk about social media and how they're representing themselves out there. And there isn't a playbook for that either. They don't know how they're supposed to talk about themselves on social media or what pictures are appropriate. So we kind of cover that core concept to educate them, as well as setting goals for career development, what they want to do with their lives, the vision boarding. It's all different for different age groups, and that's the way the curriculum is structured. Building confidence in different aspects and different ages, that's still part of our program. But it's a building a foundation that we evolve from each year that they stay with the program.
Is the idea to get people, young people, to relate to one another face-to-face, one-on-one, as opposed to within an electronic setting?
Definitely. I mean, that is the big purpose, is to be complementary to technology. So we say engaging in person versus through a device. I'm really strong about that because it is the time that they have dedicated to sit there and interact with one another and learn those concepts and apply them. And the nice part about Taryn being on board is I also wanted to find a way to empower not only the youth in our program, but also coaches. And so I'm hiring Cal Poly students that want to work with kids and gain skills and also build out their resume to say, I've worked with a leadership program. And what's great about it, like Kristen said, is kids listen to us day in and day out as parents, and we don't really know what they're absorbing and what they're not. But when they're engaged and in a class setting, fun activity base, where they're learning from mentors and peers and people that they can look up to, it really makes a difference with the curriculum. And I've seen that so far in our program.
How do you see this as being different than something like a Big Brother, Big Sister program?
Definitely. I mean, I think this is an opportunity to empower kids in a way that they're engaged with not just kids in their school setting and their circle of friends. So the program is built around that. I mean, Taryn can speak a little bit more to the Big Brother, Big Sister because you're involved in the community in that way as well.
Yeah. I've looked into Big Brother, Big Sister, and that is more as like the teenager or adult is there to be the friend, to be the mentor in the sense. But mm-hmm. I think with our program, it's getting more specific on the skill set, whether with Big Brother, Big Sister, it's taking them out and letting them do the activities that they want to do. So with this, it's just a little bit more guided, but still having fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So if they're learning these skill sets, is the focus on kind of getting them away from using technology as a way of socializing?
That is the class purpose. I would say that that is why we're bringing them together in the in-person sessions. It's definitely to remove that,
right,
that outside influence just for that time frame. Like I said, I'm not anti-tech. I think it's fine for them to be on social media and all of that, but just kind of educating them and giving them a space where we can share with them that it's not all about that. Like, there's opportunities to have the social skills and develop it, and it's critical for their success long term to be able to engage.
What kind of guidance do you give to the parents then as they've completed? Because this is 5 weeks. Right, that the course is?
Right now we have it once a month, so it's running over a five-month period.
Okay, over 5 months. Mm-hmm. And so this is over the 5 months. So what kind of guidance are you giving to the parents during that, and how are they interacting with the kids in terms of social technology and reinforcement of this? Is there some kind of teaching for the parents how to support this?
There is. There will be material that's sent home. Like I said, we haven't launched the older kids yet. I have worked with that age group with the high schoolers. I actually volunteered for the Slow High. We did a leadership retreat over the summer, and it was a 3-day, you're there overnight, you engage with one another, you're doing activities. So that's where I've really dove into the high schoolers. We haven't launched the program yet for the older kids, but there will be supplemental material and some coaching for parents as well.
And the reason I'm bringing this up, I had to replace a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing in the Verizon store, and we're in holiday time now, right? So people are shopping. And behind me is a couple who are buying phones for their 8-year-old twins. That's 1 year older than Hunter.
Definitely. Yep.
So already, you know, technologically advancing those kids to a place of maybe making it harder for them to socialize, like you're seeing with kids who haven't learned how to talk to other kids or get distracted from that.
Yeah, so. I think it's important to have the balance. I mean, parents are, they're going to parent the way they see fit. And,
sure.
you know, we can't necessarily change that, nor does every parent want to have that. But I think it, like I said, the program is built to give parents an opportunity to help supplement what we're already offering our kids as a form of training to get them and engage and have that opportunity. Because as a parent, we don't know what's necessarily going on when we send our kids to school.
Right.
I don't know about you guys, but like I send my kid to school, I drop him off every day, and I hope that he's engaged with other kids. And maybe I get a parent-teacher conference once a year, but it's really hard to really know what's going on, how they're socializing, how they're doing, what curriculum they're even going over. And that is the way that I feel very strongly about engaging the parents, either in the sessions with the kids, in the emails that we send home, or just showing them and getting them to kind of, because if they see their kids practicing it,
yeah,
they're going to want to get involved with them. I don't think any parent would necessarily sit back and be like, okay, I'm sending my kid to this program and I have no desire to engage with them outside or see what they're learning or fully reinforce these skill sets.
Yeah. Over the last 5 months, did you have this experience of some of the parents having kind of these aha moments of, wow?
I got several emails from parents, one where she witnessed her daughter going out and giving a handshake to a stranger, and she said that it may have been a little uncomfortable for her, but she did it, and she gave them eye contact, and she was just, it was that proud moment, I think, for a parent where you start realizing, like, wow, my kid is getting it. And, you know, we all want to set our kids up for success. And, you know, we can give it our best. And to see that a program is helping alongside of what parents are doing, I think was really valuable for her. And other parents have sent me examples of their kids kind of working with some of the dining table settings and going out to a restaurant and how to properly engage even with a waiter and saying how you either are done with your food, signaling, things like that that you wouldn't necessarily know of. And a lot of us as adults never even got taught.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. What is your ultimate goal here? What do you see, you know, 3-5 years down the road that you'd like to see?
Definitely. Like I said, I'm really invested in this local community because this is where I live and where I'm raising my family. And I think it is a very special place that embraces programs like this or would embrace a curriculum like this. So my goal is to develop a very strong chapter here that offers kindergarten all the way through senior year of high school classes, maybe expand North County and South County, and then kind of trickle out to Santa Barbara, Monterey. And my goal is to open chapters all across the U.S. That way we can empower more of our youth everywhere.
And Stacy, who called in, was talking about her concerns about people that couldn't afford it. And you had said that you'd been kind of thinking about that already. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to develop a program that is either free or allows for scholarship opportunities for kids that are wanting to be exposed to this type of training, and the parents would see value in this. We haven't logistically worked through the details on it, but it is definitely something that is going to hopefully come down the pipeline as we continue to grow and evolve.
And you mentioned South County and North County. Is that already in the plans, or that's something a little bit out in the future?
There's potential to host some classes even starting in January. Right now, I'm just wanting to make sure I start small. As an entrepreneur,
sure.
You can get very overwhelmed quickly with everything you want to do. I mean, my vision and my dreams are big, but I have to start somewhere. So I am looking to potentially partner with some other locations, especially in North County, since a lot of the families live up there and we're offering it on the weekends, which makes it challenging for them to drive.
What are some of the biggest concerns you have about, you have, how old is your?
My son is 5.
5. Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest concerns you have that you're trying to address with this program?
In my own child's behavior and things?
Well, and I would think that would carry for the other programming that you're developing.
Definitely. Too. Yeah, I mean, as a parent, I kind of used my son as a test case, I will say, because a lot of the curriculum that I developed, we started it with him early on. And I was impressed to see how he was so engaged with it and eager to learn. And I think a lot of times we as parents don't necessarily give our kids enough credit on how smart they really are, how engaged they can be. And a lot of times, even me, you know, we work these jobs, and I was in a 9-to-5 job, and it's very hard to find the time to teach these types of concepts and make sure you're covering everything and, you know, feel as a parent like you're not letting your kid down. So we definitely started this early on. And then when I left my corporate job to start this business, I even saw more of an impact that it was making in my child because I did get to spend a little more time with him. I did get to focus in on specific aspects of what I'm trying to hope to teach all these kids and help other parents with. And I definitely, the table manners, the respect, the social skills and getting them to engage with one another and have empathy even at this young age is so important. And I can definitely see that happening.
Great. This is Central Coast Voices, and you are listening to our discussion about the Savvy Leadership Academy with Maggie Von Stein, its founder and CEO, Taryn Greer, who is a leadership coach. And if you recently joined us and you want to hear the show in its entirety, you can go to the website at kcbx.org. This show is locally produced, and all KCBX local produced shows are available streaming on demand at KCBX website, where you can access them when it's convenient for you to listen to them. We only have about another 10 minutes, or actually less than that. I probably have time for one more phone call. And you can call in at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. Before, you know, because we're coming to the end of the show, I want to make sure that I'm addressing all the things that you wanted to address about the program. What you're looking for? Are you looking for help with people to come in? Do you have? You mentioned interns that you were bringing in from Cal Poly. Do you have a call out for assistance in any way?
Right now, I think my goal is just to spread awareness of what we're doing, and through this show in general, is getting out there and letting the community that we know that we're here and we're offering this type of program is huge. Taryn has been a great sidekick in helping with this program, and as we continue to add classes, I will be hiring more out of Cal Poly, especially with kids that are students that are in child development and have that background. But really, just looking for the local community support to spread awareness, and if there is opportunities to get scholarships and things for kids to participate in the program and to offer it to as many kids as possible.
What if somebody wanted to scholarship a child to come through the program? Is that something that you've had anybody do? If, you know, Stacy had mentioned that maybe this would be something that would be helpful for other people. So if somebody wanted to pay for somebody to come through the program, is that something that they could do?
Yes. I mean, you can definitely sign up. We all of our enrollments are done online right now through www.savvyleaders.com. And you can sign up. You can specify the child. If it's somebody that is not your child, I would just put that in the notes section so that I'm aware. Sure. But it's definitely an opportunity, and I think I will build out a more clear designation on our site to offer a scholarship or a gift of the program to a child.
And Taryn, I haven't heard a lot from you today, but I was curious how you got involved in this program.
So I actually worked with Maggie's son over the summer at a camp. I was his camp leader, and I heard about the program, and I went and looked over it. And like I mentioned before, I've worked with kids my whole life, and so I've seen all different aspects of children and where they were lacking. And so two of the things that I see a lot is a lack of positive self-esteem and a lack of awareness for themselves, which are two things that go into being a good leader. And so I was naturally drawn to the program. I thought it would be really empowering for our youth. And so we connected, and I just thought it would be such a great thing for me to be able to give my knowledge to the children and then to be able to be a part of something that I think is going to be very powerful for our local youth.
In the last class, there were 15 students. How many of those were boys? How many girls?
Ooh, I think it,
actually had a pretty good split. Yeah. I had a lot more boys register than I had thought ahead of time. I thought it would be more drawn for parents girls. With girls. Mm-hmm. But it was really powerful because it was an even split, because even when we started doing the dance, I was excited that I could pair them up. Mm-hmm. And it's the boys, I even think, almost benefited more from the program than the girls did.
And why do you say that? In what way?
Well, I think as a mom of a boy, I can say it. Our boys are very energetic. They have a lot of, there is a little more aggressive side to some of the boys. And I think softening with some social skills has definitely been beneficial. And seeing the boys engage with each other in a very positive interaction as well as with the girls in the class, and having that guy-girl interaction as well as just learning the concepts, the handshakes, the things that maybe as a mom of a boy you wouldn't necessarily cover as much, versus girls, I think, are a little more naturally drawn to either, you know, learning about dance or, you know, helping out setting the table. You know, I'm not generalizing, but I think that from my perspective, I saw a lot of growth in the boys as well as the girls, but especially in some of the boys.
Sounds like what you're talking about is the boys tend to be more physical in their interactions mm-hmm. at that age.
Definitely.
So this was teaching them to be maybe less physical and more social in terms of verbally expressing.
Yeah, using their voice and having a complimentary side to their masculinity. It was great. I think it definitely was. It was helpful.
And so the focus now for the next group will be what? The same kinds of things, but at a different
activities
level.
And so we'll build upon it. So say, for example, we taught them how to set a table to begin with, and they used a diagram that they got to work off of. And so as we continue to reinforce this behavior, they'll learn it where they won't even need a diagram. So kind of continuing to evolve on that, but we will be sticking with the core of leadership, life skills, etiquette, and manners.
Okay, and so they'll continue with things like philanthropy as well.
Correct. We have that each year in our program.
Okay. And so what so the program is Savvy Leaders, and leadership here is leadership in terms of not necessarily building presidents, mm-hmm. but kids taking leadership ability and leadership over their own lives.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Building a foundation for leadership.
And any final words?
I just really am excited to get out there in the community. I would love if any parents had any questions, they can feel free to reach out to me.
And how do they get a hold of you?
On the website. You can visit www.savvyleaders.com and send me a note through our comment section. Or if you would like to email me directly, my email is Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E, at Savvy, S-A-V-V-Y, Leaders, LEADERS.com.
Okay, great. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Maggie Von Stein, Taryn Greer, and Kristen McKiernan. Next week, join Fred Monroe as he speaks with Kirsten Rambo, Executive Director with Stand Strong, and Robin Mitchell Hee, who is President of the Board of Directors, as they discuss how Stand Strong is working to end domestic violence in San Luis Obispo through support, education, and advocacy. We always appreciate your suggestions for future shows. If you have a topic you'd like to suggest, please send it to us at voices@kcbx.org. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX, made possible by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices. Mm-hmm.